All right, well, good evening, everybody, and welcome again to Grace Community Church Wednesday night service. Thank you for watching if you're tuning in online, and thank you all for coming out in person. I know it's hot out there. It's been super hot all day long. But hope everybody's had a good week so far. Let me go ahead and pray, and then we'll just get right into it. Father, we just thank you for you just providing us a place to come and worship you, Lord, and to learn more about you. And Father, I just ask that you'd take control of this service and just speak through me, Lord. I pray that hearts would be softened, Lord, and that minds would be open to receive what it is you have to say. And I just pray, Lord, that you would help us to apply these things to our lives, Lord, so we can see the fruit that comes from being obedient to your word. And Lord, we just turn it over to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Last week we talked about forgiveness and how important that is, not only in our relationships with our friends and family, but, you know, also how important that is in our relationship with God and how that affects everything in our lives. And we talked about, you know, when we make mistakes or when we offend somebody, how it's important to take responsibility for our own actions quickly and not let those things fester and turn into a situation that, you know, could be easily avoided. And we talked about, you know, how hard it is to win somebody back to you once you have offended them. So we need to try our very best to, when we see we have offended somebody, to try and take care of those things quickly and not give it the opportunity to turn into an argument that winds up in bitterness and anger and, you know, either a damaged relationship or a lost relationship. Today, I want to talk about joy and happiness. I believe a lot of our relationships are struggling, not only because of unforgiveness or resentment towards somebody else, but I think a lot of our relationships are struggling because people just aren't happy. You know, they're not happy with their lives. It may not even have anything to do with the other person. It's just, you know, circumstances in our lives and the way that they are at that time, it affects the way we treat other people because we're just not happy. And when our circumstances get us to where we're not happy, you know, we just don't have any joy in our lives. And if you're not happy and you don't have any joy, you can't share with somebody what you don't have yourself. So we can't share our happiness or our joy with anybody else unless we have it ourselves. You know, about a month ago, we mentioned this verse in a message that I was given in Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 10. It says, "The joy of the Lord is our strength." And Josh said something in his sermon Sunday about we have to stay focused on God, focused on the needs of others. And I believe a lot of us are unhappy and we've lost our joy because we're just focused on the wrong things. You know, in Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 10, I'll read you that verse. I don't want to just quote it to you. It says, "Then he said unto them, Go your way, eat the fat and drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto our Lord. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." So the strength that we need to fight the battles that life throws at us, keep our focus on God where it needs to be, we can't walk in the Holy Spirit. We lose those things like we've been talking about the last couple of weeks. The fruits of the Spirit just start fading away in our lives. And like Josh was saying Sunday morning, if we get our focus off of God, we'll start trying to find happiness and joy in all the wrong things. You know, some of you might remember in the late 70s or early 80s, there's a country singer named Johnny Lee, and he had that song out, you know, "Looking for Love in All the Wrong Places." And I believe that's what a lot of us are doing. You know, we're looking, like we talked about last week, we're looking for justice in our situations. We're looking for retribution. We're looking for for things that, you know, you can't find in this world. We want to make all of our wrongs right. And we're miserable because they're not made right. And we don't think we are getting justice in these areas. You know, like I just said, most of the time we can't get justice in this world. One of my devotions this week said we can't demand justice in this world, but we can give it. We can, you know, do what's right on our part. And we should. Like I said, if we've offended somebody, we need to do everything within our power to make things right. And we'll never be happy if we're waiting on everybody else in our lives to make right the wrongs that they've done to us. We have to get to the place, like we talked about last week, where we just turn those things over to God and we'll trust Him with them so we can move on. We'll never find happiness dwelling on the past, dwelling on things that we wish would happen that are never going to happen. Paul says in the book of Philippians, chapter 3, verses 13 and 14, you know, he had a lot of stuff in his past. If he dwelt on his past, then he wouldn't be able to fulfill the ministry that God called him to do. And in Philippians 3, verse 13, Paul says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Paul knew that as long as he was dwelling on his past, that he wouldn't be any use for today or for the future, for the ministry that God had called him into. So we have to start today and start looking ahead instead of looking at the past, or even, you know, where we are right now. If your current circumstances are bad, we can't be focused on right now either. We need to be focused on getting past what we're in. Our happiness and our joy just can't be dependent on what our circumstances are. I know I've shared with you a bunch of times before, my favorite verse in the Bible is Hebrews 13:5. You know, I have to say that to myself all the time. God is with me. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. You know, I had really bad abandonment issues, and that verse really helps me out with that, because I know I can trust God. I know no matter what I'm going through, God's going to go through it with me, and He's not going to leave me, and He's not going to abandon me. And He knows my circumstances. So that's where I started. You know, when I've told you before too, when I surrendered to Christ, my circumstances were not good at all. I was not happy. I didn't have any joy. I didn't have any hope. I just, you know, lost my home. I lost my wife. I had no money, no job, no nothing, you know. And I wanted justice. I wanted revenge. I wanted all that stuff. But God showed me that Jesus was all I needed. None of those things would have made me happy if I would have got revenge, if I would have, you know, fought back and tried to get even. Guilt of doing those things. So I had to start right where I was with just Jesus and trust Him that He was going to take care of those things for me, and to know that He was all I needed. You may remember the message we did just a few weeks ago about getting into position so that you can receive God's blessings. His blessings are always there, but a lot of times we're just not in position to get them. So that's what we have to do. We have to get into God's Word, and we have to trust Him that His promises are true. And the only way we're happy is when we rely on God, and we start by being content right where we are. And that's not easy to do. I know circumstances can be hard. Like I said, when I first surrendered to Christ and I was trying to start my life over again, No, am I trusting? Our provider, he is. They don't have. God wants you to seek him first. And like we just read in Philippians 4:19, he will be your provider. In Matthew chapter 6, in verse 33, he says, but if you'll seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all these things shall be added unto you. You know, I saw that come true in my life. And when I did surrender, you know, I called God out on that verse. I was like, okay, I'm not going to do anything but seek you. I spent all my time in his word. I was, you know, made sure I was present every opportunity I had to be, you know, in Celebrate Recovery or a church service if there was one going on, or in a class if there was a class going on. I put all my focus on seeking God, and he did. He started sorting out the things in my life one by one. Like, you know, and I didn't have to do a thing. All I did was seek him, and he really does take care of your circumstances for you. In the last part of Matthew chapter 6, about the last half of the chapter, if you're taking notes, you know, we'll cover these in a little bit, but from verses 24 to 34, you know, that's what he's talking about. You can't have both. You're either going to trust God or you're going to trust your money. You know, I can tell you from experience, when I was trusting my money, I could never make enough money, no matter how much I made. And I just kept devoting more and more of my life and my time, you know, to working until I had no time left for anything else. I didn't have any time for my wife. I didn't have any time for God. I didn't have any time for anything but work. You know, no time for relationships, no time for God. And that's not what God wants for us. You know, he wants us to focus on what really matters in our lives. And when it boils down to it, the people in our lives are what really matters. You know, we've been talking, you know, the last couple of weeks about relationships. And relationships wind up falling apart because we never spend any time together. You know, if you're always too busy working, then your relationship is going to fall apart, because you can't have a relationship if you're not spending time with one another. That's why it's important to get to church early and stay a little later. Get to know some of the people that you go to church with. You know, not just shake hands and smile at each other. We don't get to know one another like that. We can't help one another like that. You know, it says in the Bible that everything you need to live a godly life is in the church. You know, whatever. If I've got something that's broke, there's somebody in the church that knows how to fix that. If I'm looking for something that I need, there's probably somebody in the church that has that. But we'll never find those things if we don't take the time to get to know one another. And when we're too busy working all the time, and you know, what time we do spend together is spent in a hurry. We're always hurried. It's not relaxing time. And most of the time we're so exhausted, we can't enjoy our time together. And, you know, our attitudes get bad because we're so tired and we can't truly have the quality time together that God wants us to have. That's why having a Sabbath day is so important. And I'm working really hard in my life right now to get this, you know, instituted in my schedule. And I'm really close to it. Been working on it for about 3 months now. But God, you know, I told him I don't have time for it. And God is making time for it. That's why I was saying, if we seek him first, like we just read in Matthew 6:33, he'll clear a path for you to be obedient to him. It might look impossible, but when you bring it to God and tell him, I want to be obedient, he'll make a way for you to be obedient to him. You know, God's plan is not to work 7 days a week. It's important to God for us to rest, to take a day to trust him and to thank him for his provision that we just read about, and spend some time with the people that he put in our lives so that we can have those healthy relationships we're supposed to have. You know, we have to trust God. It takes a step of faith to make time to devote to God and trust him that he will provide. You know, I know it's scary. I've been there, because most of us are so used to, I have to do this, I'm the provider, I'm this and that. It is scary, but God will not fail you. You know, it keeps going back to Hebrews 13:5. He'll never leave you, and he'll never abandon you. You know, God knows your needs, and he will be there for you, but you got to have faith and take your hand off the wheel at some point and give God a chance. I'll go ahead and read those verses in Matthew 6:24-34. And that's what he's talking about. We have to see God in everything and realize that he will take care of us. In verse 24, it says, no one can serve two masters, for you will hate one and love the other. You'll be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and be enslaved to money. That is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life. Whether you have enough food and drink or enough clothes to wear, isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you far more valuable to him than they are? Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? And why worry about your clothing? Look at the lilies of the field and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing. Yet Solomon, in all his glory, was not dressed as beautifully as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for the wildflowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, he will certainly care for you. So why do you have so little faith? So don't worry about these things, saying, what will we eat and what will we drink or what will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. But your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. So God wants us to trust him, and he'll prove himself to you quickly. I mean, he won't let you suffer for a while until he comes through. As soon as you put your trust in him and start being obedient to him, he will prove himself to you. But he can't prove himself as long as you're in control. You know, the Sabbath day is one of the Ten Commandments. You know, we put our trust in God that it's good not to murder people. We put our trust in God that it's not good to commit adultery. We put our trust in God that, you know, it's not good for us to steal. I don't know why we think we can obey some of the commandments and ignore other ones. You know, if it's in there, God put them in there for a reason. So we can't ignore the commandments of God and think that that's okay. You know, what really amazes me is we not only ignore them, and I'm not talking down to anybody. I do this myself, but it amazes me how we do that. You know, we'll ignore the commandment of God to put our trust in him and take a Sabbath day, And then when we ignore his commandments, we ask for his help, you know, while we're doing it. We'll say things like, God, I know you see me struggling here. You know, I'm working 80 hours a week. Give me the strength to work more. You know, no, that's not what God wants. He wants us to trust him. He wants us to bring our needs to him. One of the biggest things that you can do to have more peace and less stress and more happiness in your life, and I hope you hear this, because this is one of the things that made a major change in my life, is if you're struggling financially, live below your means for a little while. You know, if you're struggling, quit doing things that you can't afford. Just doing that one thing lowered my stress level, I mean, a whole bunch. I can't even tell you how much. I remember one time back in the 90s, for y'all that didn't know, I used to have a flooring company. That's what I did for about 27 years. And, you know, my business was booming, and I did a carpet job for this guy, and he had this nice Harley bike. He, you know, he had the boots on and all the clothes and all that stuff. So I got impressed by that. So I went out and bought me a pair of those boots. And even way back then, I think it was 1993, but you know, those boots were like $700, and then I had to have the jacket to go along with them, and then I had to get me the chaps to match my jacket, and then my helmet wouldn't do, so I had to go get a new helmet, and I couldn't have just any jacket. I had to go have it airbrushed so nobody else wouldn't have one like mine. And you know, long story short, I wound up spending over $3,000 on all that junk that I had to have. And I didn't even have a Harley, you know. I had a dirt bike. It wasn't even a nice dirt bike. So when I put all that stuff on and go riding around a block on my little dirt bike, I look like an idiot. And I didn't need any of that stuff. But a lot of times that's what we do. You know, it's not that God's not providing for us. We're just not being good stewards of what he has provided. You know, we saw a lot of that this year during the pandemic, or last year, I might as well say. You know, God gives somebody a good job right in the middle of a pandemic, but they'd rather sit at home and get an unemployment check than they would work the job that God provided for them. And then when the checks run out, then they're hollering at God again. Why won't you help me? Can't you see me struggling down here? And all the time, God was helping you. God's the one that gave you the job. Or you do like I did way back then. You know, you get those stimulus checks, and instead of putting them up so that you can, you know, meter them out and pay your bills with them, I saw a lot of people just go out and blow the whole check. We can't blame God for us not being good stewards. What he does give us, I think he wants us to manage it wisely. And I was really bad at that, because one of the fruits of the Spirit, like I was saying, to have happiness and joy is self-control. And without self-control, you'll go spend $3,000 on an outfit and look like an idiot, like I did. Back then, I literally used to blow more money than I made just trying to impress people, and then try to pay my bills last, you know, if there was anything left. If we trust God and put him first in our lives and tithe on what we do make first and budget our bills and pay them second and take a Sabbath day like God's word says to do, it always works out. You know, we have to be good stewards of what God gives us. Like I said at the beginning in Hebrews 13:5, again, we have to be content with the things that we have. You know, it says, don't be covetous. You know, be content with what you have. Another example of that is I used to have cell phones with a contract, and the bills just kept going up every month until they got to where they were just crazy, you know. And it wasn't just me and my wife that had one. We went and got a package deal with another couple. So not only did that get us in trouble, it got them in trouble too. And we finally got to the point where we just couldn't pay the cell phone bills. So I went to Walmart and got some Straight Talk phones, and for about one quarter of the price that we were paying for those, and they do the exact same thing. I didn't need those phones. All I needed was a phone. I was just paying an outrageous price for one that I didn't need. You know, if you can't, the same thing with vehicles. You know, if you can't afford a $500 a month car payment, you know, get you a used car. Drive one that you can afford. Get one that you can pay off until you get your finances straightened out. You know, I did that. And the van that I drive now, it's got almost 600,000 miles on it. But it runs just fine. And I know that's God keeping it going because I put my trust in him. I used to spend outrageous amounts of money on just clothes. You know, I didn't even need. My closets were hanging full of clothes I didn't even wear. I just go to the flea market. Ooh, I got to have that shirt, or I got to have this, and take it home and put it up. And truth be told, I didn't wear any of that stuff because all I ever did was work. All I ever wore was my work clothes. You know, so I was just wasting my money. Now, you know, since I am trying to do things God's way, I don't do that anymore. I could replace my whole wardrobe for less than half of one of my checks. You know, I get all my clothes at Walmart, and nobody makes fun of the way I dress. You know, somehow we think if I'm not wearing that, if I'm not wearing this, then people are going to make fun of me, and that's just not true. You know, people, they love you for who you are, not what you're wearing. You know, sometimes we have to downsize in order to get out of the hole that we created for ourselves. And then we can start building things up the right way, God's way. I remember it wasn't long ago, I was going to do some laundry and my dryer went out. You know, I didn't go to Lowe's and get one, put it on a credit card and pay $1,500 for it. I went to a used appliance place and got me one for $100. You know, it dries my clothes. That's all I needed it to do. And I didn't go in debt to do it. You know, I had the $100 because I'm trying to do my finances the way God showed me to do them. So if we live below our means instead of above them, life's a whole lot easier and you're not stressed out all the time. You know, Jesus said in Luke chapter 12 and verse 15, that's what he's talking about. And it says, he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consists not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. So we can't put our value on our life or even ourselves on the things that we have, you know, whether they're name brand or not. And John says too, in 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17, he says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but it is of the world. And the world passes away and the lust thereof, but he that does the will of God abides forever. So we can't get to the place where we worship our things. You know, they're not important. All those things are not from God. Those are the things we're most of the time looking for or looking to get our happiness from, to get our joy from. And when we don't have happiness or when we've lost our joy, it's because we've got all our focus on those things and we're not focusing on our relationships or our relationship with God. And that's why our relationships start struggling. And when we are struggling, most of the time it's not that our finances are bad. It's that we're unhappy. It's because our relationships are bad. You know, we get our joy from our relationships with other people, from our spouses, our friends, our families, and God, not our money. That's why I'm always talking about reconciliation and forgiveness, because that's where happiness comes from. You know, the whole world is full of old houses that are falling down and junkyards that are full of old cars that used to be new. And You know, sometimes I'll sit around and I just wonder how many marriages ended or how many relationships ended over arguments over a new car, you know. How much it cost to pay for that car or the money it took to buy that car or the mortgage payment on a new house that somebody was never home to spend time with the family so that they could pay the mortgage. You know, it don't do you any good to have a $1 million house if it can't be a home. You know, if you're never there, if all you're doing is working your life away to pay for the house or the car and your family is sitting there without you, then those things are useless. Or you can see that in a lot of families, you know. You'll see brothers and sisters get along their whole life, and then the parents die, and the inheritance goes out. And then what do? They turn on each other because they both want, you know, everybody wants the inheritance. And they'll split their relationships up over the money. And they don't carry it on as a legacy to their parents. They sell it as soon as they get their hands on it. And they would rather have that money than they would the relationship with their family. We got to realize that those things rot, houses fall down, cars fall apart. You know, our clothes wear out. Those things are temporary. You know, the people that God puts in our lives are not temporary, or they shouldn't be. You know, our kids are only going to grow up once. They're only little once. You know, I know I missed out. I'm probably the biggest blessing in my life of being able to raise my daughter because I was selfish. You know, I was more concerned about trying to please myself or your marriage. You know, it'll never work out if you're not in it and God's not in it. You, like I said a while ago, you can't have a relationship if you're not spending time together. That's just like we talked a couple of weeks ago about the vine and the branches. You have to stay connected. And, you know, you can't make memories if you're not together. You can't work your whole life and then look back on your life and have memories if you don't spend any time together. That's how memories are made. You know, I remember growing up, I used to have this, Mom had this great big picture album, just full of pictures, and she had a box full of pictures. And we loved to drag that thing out and just look in there and look at pictures. You don't have those things if you don't spend any time together. If you spend your whole life at work, you've got to be together to take those pictures and to do the things together it takes to make memories. So the only way you're going to find happiness and joy in this life is to devote your life to God, to make time for God, to trust God and do things God's way. Then you can be the husband or the wife you need to be. You can be the parent that you need to be. You can be the friend that you need to be. You know, happiness and joy come from healthy relationships done God's way. You know, almost every week I bring up the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5, verses 22 and 23. If you're taking notes, that's where those are. It says, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives, love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness, gentleness and self-control. There is no law against these things. You know, those are the things that we're looking for in life. We can't find those things. We can't get those from a paycheck. Those are spiritual things. The only way we get those is by following God. And we can't have a healthy relationship without them. You can't have a healthy relationship without the fruit of the Spirit, with love, joy, and peace, long-suffering, and self-control, all those things. And as long as we're chasing money, you know, we're moving away from the Holy Spirit. We're moving in the opposite directions. But like I said a while ago, if we chase after God, like it says in Matthew 6, 33, He will provide for you all the money you need. And we come to find out that we don't need as much money as we think we do. We want that much money. But God will provide your needs. And I've also learned that the less stuff I have, the happier I am, and the less stressed out I am, the more things I got, the more stuff I worry about, the more I have to take care of. You know, you can ask my mom or anybody else that knows me, I'm always trying to get rid of something. If I'm not using it, I get rid of it. You know, if it's set there for a month and I ain't touched it, and I don't think I'm going to, I'll give it to somebody or I'll throw it away. I'm not going to just pile it up, because that stuff will eventually stress you out. Because like I said, none of that stuff lasts forever. If you keep it long enough, it's going to rot and it's going to fall apart, and then you've got that to deal with. You know, downsizing, it also frees up money so you can help other people too. It gives you more opportunities to serve God. You know, there's lots of ministries out there. You can adopt a child for $35 a month. You know, that's almost a dollar a day. You can change a whole life for a kid, and probably their eternity too, just by spending $35 a month. So, you know, when we have more money, we have more opportunities to serve God. And you always get joy when you're able to help somebody. You know, I don't think I've ever done something good for somebody and felt bad about it. You know, you get joy and you get happiness out of doing things for people. You know, it's when we drift away from God, we get disconnected from our friends and our family, and all we're left with is our stuff or our job or our money. You know, that's when we get unhappy and lose our joy. So we have to try to remember this week, you know, where our joy comes from. It don't come from our paycheck. It don't come from our jobs. It comes from God. And it comes from the people that God has put in our lives and the healthy relationships with them. And the only way we're going to have healthy relationships is to spend time with each other. So we need to trust God, and, you know, if we need to, we need to make some changes in our lives. Whatever that looks like for you. I know everybody's life is different. You know, your needs are different than my needs. But, you know, whatever it looks like for you, maybe you've got too much stuff to worry about and you need to get rid of some of it. Or maybe you work too much. Maybe you are working two jobs right now trying to provide for your family, which is not a bad thing to try to provide your family. But you need to get to the place where you trust God to help you do that. And just say, I can't work two jobs. I need to be there for my family. And God will, he'll be there with you. So you need to have a talk with God and take that step of faith and just pray with him. And God will show you what you need to do. You know, maybe you need to downsize to a used car. Or maybe you need to get out of a phone contract. Or maybe you're in a brand new house that you can't afford. Or maybe, you know, your cable bill or your internet bill is way more than what you actually need. You know, you need to look at those things. So if you are living above your means, we need to make some changes and downsize and trust God, and he'll show you how to get straightened out. And you don't have to stay there. You don't have to live below your means. I mean, you always need to live below your means, but God will make that, he'll let you climb back up that ladder to where you can live comfortably without being stressed out. Or if you do have broken relationships in your life, like I said, to start with, when we first got going here, you know, we need to do everything on our part to restore that relationship. And most of the time, like we talked about last week, if people see you putting forth the effort, you know, they'll put forth some effort too. God will bless you. You know, it says in Proverbs, when a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies be at peace with him. So we need to put the effort into our relationships that we need to, and quit waiting on everybody else to do it first. We need to step up and do it first. That's what God calls us to do. And when we get rid of that stress of always being, you know, behind financially, and when you start being able to enjoy healthy relationships, that's when you'll find yourself getting happy, and you'll start seeing the satisfaction and the joy in your life that you're looking for. You know, you'll see those things start coming into your life, and you won't always be worried, and you won't be waiting for the next bad thing to happen to you. You know, you won't be living with a Charlie Brown cloud over your head all the time. Because bad things are going to happen. You know, Jesus said, in this world, you're going to have persecution. But if our relationship with him is intact, he says, be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. So if we're going into it with Jesus and our relationships are healthy with the people in our lives, then we got them to help us through those situations instead of trying to fight through them on our own. And we've got God right there to help us through them too. So we know that no matter what happens, he's gonna get us through it. Like it said in Hebrews 13:5, he'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. He'll always be there, and he'll help you through it no matter what it is. And once you get to where you believe that, then your circumstances won't seem so big anymore. They won't be scary to you anymore. You won't be full of fear and get that hopeless feeling like, oh, what am I going to do now? You know, you'll still have that joy inside of you. You may not be happy going through a situation, but you'll have that joy in you knowing that this is only going to be temporary because God's going to help me through it, because he always does. And once you trust him long enough, like I said, and you'll start believing that he is all you need. And just like we talked about being connected to the vine and being that healthy branch, our joy is directly connected to a healthy relationship in our lives and a healthy relationship with God. And another thing, staying connected and having those healthy relationships with God and, you know, with the people in our lives. You know, if we're happy at home, we're going to be happy other places we go. You know, if we're unhappy at home, we're not going to be happy anywhere else either. And we're going to be, you know, not good witnesses for Jesus. We're going to be bitter, we're going to be unhappy, and we're going to be in a bad mood all the time, like we talked about a minute ago. So it makes it hard to witness and tell somebody how good Jesus is when we're living unhappy lives. So if we'll make the changes in our lives to where we can walk in happiness and joy, and, you know, we're happy, then we're living proof that living for Jesus works. And we can be the witness that God called us to be. You know, just like we talked about Paul a while ago, you know, quit worrying about the past and quit worrying about the circumstances we're in right now. We need to look to the future. You know, what am I going to do for God from today forward? And the only thing the only way we're going to do anything for God is to make the changes in our life so we can live happy lives. You know, nobody's going to listen to an unhappy, bitter witness. You know, I've seen those all through churches my whole life, and that is one of the biggest reasons I didn't want anything to do with church. And I don't want to be an advertisement like that for Jesus. I want people to know what he's done for me. You know, he took me from misery to happiness. And I'm thankful for what he did for me. And I want people to see that joy on me, you know, that I only get from him. And I know it's only from him, because I tried it without him and it didn't work. So that's all I've got this week. I hope if you've got those problems in your life and that's keeping you from being happy, I pray that you would take them to God and pray about them. And he will show you a way to deal with those things and work them out to where you can be happy and be a joyful witness for Jesus Christ. So I just pray that you would apply those things to your life and see the fruit. You don't have to take my word for it. God will prove himself to you. But thank you all for coming out, and thank you for tuning in. I'll go ahead and pray, and we'll be dismissed. Father, I just thank you for helping me to get up here and just preach what you laid on my heart, Lord. I just pray that you would help everybody that heard this message, Lord, to take a good look at their lives, Lord. And if there's areas in it that they're struggling in, that's still in their joy, that's still in their happiness, I pray that you'd give them the courage, Lord, to bring those things to you and to talk to you about them, Lord, and to get some godly counsel on what they need to do and the changes that they need to make so that they can walk in the fruits of the Spirit, Lord, and experience that joy and that peace that comes from living for you, and so that they can become witnesses for you, Lord. that life lived for you does bring joy and it does bring happiness. And I just pray that you'd help us, Lord, and show us the ways that we need to live, Lord, to bring glory to you. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.